When the great big world around you is making you feel small, let the ones you love surround you, hold you up and make you tall. Only love can make a family, even when we aren't the same. And if you want to see a rainbow, you gotta learn to love the rain. And though your heart may carry you 1,000 miles away, know your family is there for you at every step you take. There are no rules or recipes. A family's made of, no, you only need one sacred thing. A family is love. And I know your dreams will carry you 1,000 miles away, but your family is there for you for every step you take. There are no rules or recipes. A family's made of, sacred thing, a family is love. That's what family's made of. All a family. Is love.
That's Brandi Carlile right here on the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone, and today we're learning about composers. Brandi's song, One Sacred Thing, is on the soundtrack for the live-action hybrid musical series called The Jam Van, and it was created and produced and composed by our guest, the legendary Broadway and Sesame Street composer Bill Sherman. We'll have more with Bill Sherman in a minute. But before we get there, our junior producer and intern, Daniel Lentz, has written and co-produced today's episode on composers, and we learned earlier about Mozart. And now we're going to learn about someone else who also was a musical genius. Daniel explains.
Through both a historic and modern view, very few composers are as famous as Ludwig von Beethoven. Beethoven was born in the German city of Bonn in 1770, and like many prominent musical composers, grew up in a musical family. Similar to Mozart, Beethoven was taught music by his father at a young age, but he wasn't a child prodigy, much to his father's disappointment. Mozart was a huge inspiration for Beethoven, and in 1787, he even took a trip to Vienna to meet him. However, historians are unsure if they ever met because Beethoven was forced to return home early to help care for his sick mother. Then, 5 years later, Beethoven would return to Vienna, this time as the apprentice of famous composer Franz Joseph Haydn. By this time, Mozart had already passed away, but during his life, he was actually good friends with Haydn. Because of this, Beethoven continued to be influenced by Mozart and the many other great classical composers, some of whom he was now able to work directly with. During this time, he created many famous compositions, such as his Piano Sonata, No. 8 in C minor. However, in 1790, Beethoven began to experience hearing loss, and as time went on, it became clear to the composer that he would go fully deaf. This news greatly hurt Beethoven, and he began to socially isolate himself as he grew more embarrassed about his disability. However, despite the fact that his hearing was progressively getting worse and worse, he continued to perform and make music. For Elise, another one of his most famous songs, which can be commonly heard even today, was created in 1810, well after his hearing loss began. Even though Beethoven felt sad and alone during this time. He still had a group of close friends who helped him during this difficult period. They would often write down their words during conversation so that Beethoven could follow along and engage with their discussions. Between 1813 to 1818, it is believed that Beethoven lost his hearing completely. But despite the fact that he could not hear any note or melody that could be played or sung, he could still imagine all of the notes inside his head. Because of this, Beethoven could still compose music, even though he retired from performing it. This then brings us to the Romantic era of music, from 1820 to 1900, which emphasized experimentation and emotion in music and art. And part of the reason for this shift in music was because of Beethoven. After Beethoven went deaf, his love for music gave him a new kind of confidence that allowed him to experiment and create music unlike anything else at the time. His music truly felt alive with all sorts of wild emotions, and he began to create one of his final masterpieces, his Ninth Symphony. A 75-minute musical composition which was written without Beethoven being able to hear a single note of it. It is believed that the symphony took 2 years to create. However, other evidence suggests that he may have actually started writing the earliest drafts of the symphony around 6 years before it was shown. While Beethoven stopped performing music after he lost his hearing, he returned to conduct the musicians of his Ninth Symphony. Beethoven died in 1827 after years of on and off illness, leaving behind a legacy of adversity and strength. Perhaps more important than his music, Beethoven showed that you can make your creativity, strength, and voice heard, even if you can't hear it yourself. To learn more about how composers have inspired people to be better, kinder, and more creative over the eras, visit our website, childrenshour.org, for photos, links, and a whole lot more.
That's the Jam Van theme song composed by our guest, Bill Sherman. And before that, you heard Ode to Joy. That's a snippet of it out of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Bill Sherman is a legendary Broadway composer who worked side by side with Lin-Manuel Miranda and on Sesame Street. He won a Tony Award for And Juliet, as well as In the Heights, and he won 3 Emmys for songs that he composed on Sesame Street, including the one we heard before the break, The Power of Yet, sung by Janelle Monáe. And he's won a Grammy for the Hamilton soundtrack. We've been hearing a conversation that our junior producer and intern Daniel had with Bill Sherman, and they have just a little bit more left to share.
Do you think that there is any difference when composing for adults and composing for kids?
I try to keep it the same. And the reason I try to do that is because I have this belief that children's ears are way more sophisticated than we think. I sort of went along with this idea where I wanted to write music that both parents and children could listen to at the same time. So at Sesame Street, when I started the job there, it was sort of evolving the landscape of sound at Sesame Street into something that was a little more current. And so I feel like over the past few years or so, we've sort of taken Sesame Street to sound a little more like maybe something you would hear on the radio. When people ask me about writing music for Sesame Street, the first thing I say is, don't write a song like you're writing it for a child. Just write a good song. And I think that at the end of the day, great songs are about earworms, like hooks, and like call and response or repetition, and like the power of the melody. Because if you can write something that gets stuck in someone's head, it doesn't even matter what the lyric is. If you can get that melody stuck in their head, you've won. So in children's music, every song's like a minute to a minute and a half. And other music, it's like 3 minutes, right? So the challenge of children's music is you have a very short period of time. So you have to write a verse that's a hook and a chorus that's a hook. That to me is a successful children's song, because then once you hear it, all you're doing is singing it back to them. And so I use my children as a test. I'll bring them down into the studio. I'll play them the song. And if they aren't singing it around the house later on that day, then I know it's not good. And then we'll go back and do something else. To answer your question, children's music, adult music, teenage music, to me, it's all just sort of music. The writing of a great song appeals to all of those people.
That was Bill Sherman, a prolific music composer who produced the music of the Jam Van, which you have been hearing throughout the show. We have been learning about composers and the work they do. For thousands of years, people have been making music and sharing songs together. Music can bring together people of all different ages, cultures, and backgrounds under a common love for beauty and art. But despite it being around for so long, music has changed a lot from Bach to Bill Sherman. And I hope today showed you that there are still so many songs that are yet to be sung, and your voice can change the world. We'll see you for another edition of The Children's Hour.
The Children's Hour is produced by The Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
This episode of The Children's Hour was written and co-produced by Thaniel Lentz, our junior producer and intern, with production help from Chris Takis, Sarah Gabrielli, and me, Katie Stone. Our learning guides are written by Amber Scheel. Find the one for this episode at childrenshour.org. Look for composers.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play The Children's Hour podcast.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to The Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.